continue to be in the same attitude of prayer. Let's look unto the Lord. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to your presence with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts for a day like this which you have created for all of us, Lord, to rejoice in you. Lord, we say thank you for this privilege for all of us to come to your presence to worship you, to praise you, to honor you. And Lord, now we ask you to feed us with your heavenly word, O Father God, from the throne of your grace. Lord, commit all of us into your precious hands. Hide me behind your cross. Help us to listen to you with attentive heart and ears, so that we may receive what you have prepared for us to take in today and to live a life which glorifies your name alone, O Father God. Take all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. So before I go into the message, a small announcement to all those who have taken the baptism forms and have filled in. Please visit our Pastor Francis or any of the elders immediately of the service, because we don't have a time. Yeah, outside, just under this tree, so that you'll be instructed about the next program of the baptism in the evening class as well as tomorrow's baptism. Thank you. God bless you. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 6. Verse 35. I'm reading. John chapter 6, verse 35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So, when Jesus declared that I am the bread of life, Jesus is not giving this instruction in his teaching to the disciples or in the sermon which the Lord was giving during his ministry in those 3 years. It's not a direct word the Lord has spoken to them. So today we are going to see what circumstances led to our Lord Jesus Christ declaring himself as the bread of life. As I told you, it is not a direct instruction the Lord has given to the people who were there. But there were certain circumstances and a journey that had happened which led to this declaration of the creator of the universe, who is Jesus Christ. So today, the title of our message today is Jesus said, I am the bread of life. We will be going extensively through the scriptures in John chapter 6, starting from verse 1 onwards till the end. So I beseech you all to take your own Bibles and open your own Bibles. If you have physical Bibles, I request you to open your physical Bibles. If not, please follow the scriptures on the screen, or you can use your electronic devices as well. So we start with chapter 6, verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. So Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. So where was Jesus before that? Jesus was in the place of Capernaum, left to the Sea of Galilee. For you, it is left to the Sea of Galilee. And then Jesus Christ, along with his disciples, crossed to the other shore of the Sea of Galilee, where Bethsaida and the wilderness was there. And what happened was, there was a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. So prior to that one, in the area of Nazareth and Capernaum and all those areas, Lord Jesus Christ was performing great miracles. There were great miraculous signs and wonders, and there were many who were sick came to Jesus and were healed. We go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 as well. We see the same event recorded by Matthew. However, there is an addition to what we have read in the book of John. That addition we are going to see now. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So we need to understand what happened during this event. So when they knew that Jesus Christ was crossing over from Capernaum to the other side, which is Bethsaida, the Lord decided to go on a boat along with the disciples because he wanted a solitary place. So what was the intention of Jesus? Did he want all the crowd along with him? Did he call the crowd to the other side? No, because he wanted to move on to the solitary place along with only the disciples. So hearing of this, they knew that Christ is going to the other side. Observe this one. The crowds followed him on foot. Jesus went on boat. Did crowds follow him on boats? No. So how could they go to the other side without going on the boats? They have to go via the perimeter of the Sea of Galilee. Crossing via the boat is a straight line. Going via the perimeter is a bit a longer journey. Observe what happened when Jesus landed there. The crowd was already there. Did you see in your Bible? When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, they did not come after Jesus landed. The moment Jesus landed on the shore, the crowd who went on foot already reached the other place. Which means they had to run. They were running for Jesus. And saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So not only Jesus performed his miraculous signs in the Capernaum on the left side of the Sea of Galilee, once Jesus saw the crowds on the other side, he still had compassion on them and healed their sick. So when we see their enthusiasm to run around the perimeter of the Sea of Galilee and to reach the other side to Jesus, what will come to our mind? What a great enthusiasm they had for Jesus Christ. Wow. See, even before Jesus went on the boat, because the boat a little bit slowly goes on the river, on the sea, but they wanted to go as quickly as possible to meet Jesus Christ. So the first impression that we all have in first chapter, John chapter 6 verse 1 or Matthew chapter 14 verse 13 is that they had a great desire to see Jesus. But let's journey together with Jesus Christ our Lord. Because Jesus traveled, let's also travel along with Jesus Christ. So let's have a journey with Jesus Christ. So we'll come back to John chapter 6, verse 1 again. So as we have read it, so the crowd followed him. Why? Because they saw the miraculous signs which Jesus has performed on the sick. So Jesus Christ was performing the miraculous signs on the sick from a very long time. Why the Lord Jesus Christ was performing the miraculous signs is because God is compassionate on his people. It did not depend on the state of the heart of the recipient. God is good, and God was showing his goodness at that time to the people, whoever is coming physically encountering Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus had compassion, displaying his sovereign nature of compassion and love towards those people, irrespective of who they were, what the state of their heart is. Because it was a unique period when God stepped down to this earth from eternity, from heaven, and God was establishing or revealing his identity as God to the humans for the first time. Because in the past, God has revealed his identity with his word, but now God stepped into the humanity, taking the form of a human being, which is Jesus Christ, as a man. The Son of Man was in front of the people, and God is revealing his identity, and Jesus Christ was establishing the identity and authenticating his identity as the Son of God by the miraculous signs, which pointing to something else, because a sign always points everyone to see something. That's the very meaning of the word S-I-G-N, the sign. So all these people had seen those miraculous signs, and then they wanted to come after Jesus Christ. So yes, there they are. So they all, on the other side, they all were with Jesus Christ, and there were many sick whom Jesus Christ had healed even on the other side, which we read in Matthew chapter 14. Now what happened? There were two great miracles that took place. I'm not going to go through those miracles. You all know what miracles had happened on the other side of the Galilee. Jesus took the five loaves of the barley and the two fish from a small boy and multiplied it and then fed 5,000 men and additional women and children. So they were all sitting on the grass in the rows of 50 each, and then they were instructed to give the bread and the fish to all those people. So the people who saw miraculous signs and also who had been healed in front of Jesus Christ again on the other side, immediately what followed is another great miracle of a small little amount of food being multiplied in front of their eyes so that they were all fed. So that was the miracle in front of more than 10,000 plus people. So everybody was satisfied, and then that miracle completed. Then what happened in the evening was, in the evening, the disciples, verse 16 I'm reading, John chapter 6, verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake where they got into a boat and set off across the lake of Capernaum. By now it was dark and Jesus had not yet joined them. And there God displayed another magnificent miracle of meeting the disciples in the middle of the sea by walking on the water. And we know the entire episode, how Peter was trying to even walk, and then his faith weakened. He went down, and then God lifted him. And then it followed with another last miracle. What happened? If you see in verse 20, but he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat. What happened? They were willing to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Did Jesus meet them at the shore or in the middle of the sea? It's in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. The second part of their journey did not happen physically. After they met Jesus walking on the water, when they were trying to take Jesus into the boat, the next moment, instantaneously, the boat supernaturally traveled back to the shore of Capernaum. That's the scripture. So there were so many miraculous signs seen by the crowd of 10,000 plus and the disciples who were in the boat. Now here comes what happened is, verse 22 onwards, our message starts for today, because we all know what had happened during those event from starting from Capernaum to the Bethsaida. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples. So they were completely tracking Jesus Christ First, they knew from Capernaum why Jesus, where Jesus is going, how Jesus is going, with whom Jesus is going. They had a complete GPS tracking. So when they knew that Jesus Christ went to the other shore only with the disciples, only in one boat, and again all their eyes were on Jesus on the other side, at the evening when the boat left, Jesus did not step into the boat. It's only the disciples who went back to Capernaum on the boat, which means they understood that Jesus should be still staying on the other side of Galilee, which is the Bethsaida area. So the next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciple, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they realized that Jesus was not there. In their tracking, Jesus is supposed to be there, still on the other side of Galilee near the Bethsaida. But they knew only disciples went. They were searching for Jesus again. He's not there anywhere on that place. Now, they were shocked, actually. We were tracking left and right and north and south about Jesus. Where is he missing? So some other boats came because they need travel. They're already tired, actually. Previous day, they walked all around, running to come to Jesus. But this time, they wanted to take boats. And then, once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. So, in search of Jesus, they came from Capernaum to the Bethsaida area. And now, they're now leaving back in the same, another boats, again in search of Jesus. So when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" So they were all surprised. It was something shocking for them. So they asked the question, "Rabbi, when did you get here? We did not see you crossing through the in the boats. Only disciples went." So what should be the answer of Jesus when they asked? "People, you don't know. I sent the disciples first. I stayed back. I went in the middle of the night. I met them in the middle of the sea. And then we all went to the Capernaum in a split second." That is the truth. Am I right? That should be the logical answer or the realistic answer that should be given to the people who were so enthusiastic they came in search of Jesus. "Rabbi, when did you get here? We were all searching. We came on foot. And then now we came on boats to search for you." Verse 26, Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." You see, the answer that came out of Jesus is completely contrasting to what is expected for their question. And that's the sovereign God of the universe, the creator of the universe. God knew the heart of every single human being. Let's once go to Jeremiah chapter 17, where our today's promise of the week was taken. We just continue from where we stopped during the promise of it. Pastor Dennis exhorted us up to verse 8. Verse 9 and 10 will continue in the same tone. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve." As I told you, this is a sovereign God. There are two who are searching there. On one side, the crowd is searching for Jesus. On the other side, Jesus is searching for the inner heart of the same people.
I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. Oh, their words are very sweet. Rabbi, when did you get here? Lord, we ran on foot to see you, to meet you on the other side of Galilee. So now do you see the first verse? The first impression we had got is that they had a great enthusiasm to follow Jesus Christ, because that is what is appearing physically and outside to the eyes of human being. The Lord is not the one who honors men. He is the one who searches the intents of the hearts. That's why Jesus did not answer them with the truth which had happened. He could have told them, but no. And Jesus, as always, he brings everyone into a conversation. Two chapters before, we had studied in the past how the Lord had a conversation with the woman at the Samaritan well. And then Lord brought her into a conversation where she identified Jesus Christ as the Messiah, starting her identifying him as a man first and a prophet next, and finally Jesus Christ brought her to know who he is, for her to know who he is. He is the Lord of the universe. He is the Holy One who was sent by God. Right now, Jesus Christ, as always, as I told you, the reason why he answered in that way is he wanted to have a conversation with this same crowd. God wanted to expose their hearts by the truth which he is now going to bring out. So, verse 26, as we read, once again we read it. I tell you the truth. As I told you, God is exposing everybody by truth. I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So Jesus now is declaring his identity as the Son of Man whom God the Father has approved and sent to give eternal life. However, why did Jesus say, do not work for the food that spoils? So carefully observe the word. After they asked this question, Jesus was telling the crowd, instructing them, commanding them, do not work for the food. Is it the work which we do to earn our livelihood? Is Jesus referring to that one? 8 months of wages is not sufficient to feed all these people, is what the disciples have said. Is that those wages and the work is the Lord is asking or instructing and commanding? No. If you observe, what did they do to get the food which Jesus was giving? Which means they were tirelessly following Jesus on foot, on boats, and they are putting an effort to meet him one more time to have their physical appetite satisfied. First miraculous signs on the other side at the Capernaum, they went in search of Jesus and were trying to see Jesus, what he is going to do again. Then miraculously they had food multiplied and given to them, 10,000 plus people, and then did they leave to their homes? No. Why did they search and came back to Capernaum? They want their breakfast once again. That's the truth. That's the blatant truth Jesus Christ is revealing. You are not satisfied with the food which you had your stomach filled. Now you are working for the food. This is the work the Lord is actually referring to. It's not the work which they go morning to evening and then strive for their livelihood that is supposed to be done by all of them actually. But do not work, don't put your effort to follow and then have your physical appetites be filled. So what happened was, when they first saw the miraculous signs at Capernaum, they were seeing the miracles with their eyes, right? Eyes catch everything instantaneously. They were amazed at the miracles because their eyes saw the miracles, which were only their physical senses, and now they want to research, who is this man who is doing all these miracles? Let's see once more, wherever he goes, let us see what else he does. So their enthusiasm and following Jesus is not out of the recognition of who he was and is. Their enthusiasm was physical. So that's when they traveled, ran on the foot. That's why Jesus is now exposing their intent of the heart, saying that one, do not work for the food that spoils now, but for food that endures to eternal life. Now, who brought the word food here? It is Jesus Christ who brought the word food again. He is the one who created the physical food and then fed them and then allowed them to come back to him with their intent of searching for the breakfast. And then now the Lord is revealing them, see, you have a food which is a breakfast in your minds. You are completely engulfed with that physical bread and fish. Now I'm going to introduce to you another food. So do not work for the food that spoils, which is the physical, but work for the food that endures to eternal life. So it is Jesus who brought them into a conversation and brought the word food in front of the eyes of the entire crowd. So which the Son of Man will give you. Now what happened? They said, they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? You see, what must we do to do the works God requires? It's not straight English. If you closely observe that one. What must we do God requires? Or what are the works God requires? What must we do to do the works God requires? Because they understood. Now Jesus is asking them and demanding them something different than their livelihood work. They also understood that one. He's not referring to the day-to-day work. So when they ask, what must we do to do the works God requires? Because here Jesus introduced, you must work for the food that endures to eternal life. So Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Here God is revealing them. Now you need to move from your physical realm to the spiritual realm, to your physical appetite, to your heart and your will. So that's where you are now commanded to believe in the one whom God has sent. That is the real work. So don't stay back at the work in your own definition, that you still need to put an effort to do a work. No, all your effort must be now translated into your heart, not your hands and legs and your physical body. I'm not asking you to work physically. I'm asking you to put an effort at your heart level to believe in the one God has sent. Because that is the purpose for which I have come. The miracles I have done all these days is for you to see the sign and then know the truth, which is me. But you are not doing it. After seeing the miracles, you are still putting your effort for the food that spoils. So, 30, they asked Jesus Christ, what miraculous sign then will you give that may we may see it and believe you? Did something strike? Just to go back 30 verses, the journey. We are talking about Jesus doing a miraculous signs in front of everybody, healing the sick, and this is the same crowd who has seen that one. And then they came to the other side of the shore. They were fed with five loaves of bread and two fishes multiplied in front of them. And then now they're asking, what miraculous sign will you show so that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, and it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They wanted to bring Jesus to their terms. Don't think these people are stupid people. They are very smart people. They are very intelligent people, and also they are very learned people. They know their Bible. They knew the entire Torah. How God led the nation of Israel from Egypt to the wilderness to the promised land, and what God did during the 40 years of the wilderness journey. They had every great detail which they learned. That's why they are reminding God again, saying, our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. Because Israel eating the manna in the desert was the continuous breakfast all the 40 years. So that's why they are very curious about that one. So they wanted to bring Jesus to their terms. Unless you perform a miracle where I will not go to my field and do my work, but I will always come to you. If you can continuously provide me my breakfast, then I will try to believe you. That's exactly what the Bible says, actually. This is what Jesus is exposing the hearts of the Israel, or the people, the crowd, the great crowd. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, and it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So here Jesus is revealing the truth. Yes, you had eaten the manna in the desert, but what you had received is not the bread from heaven. It was the bread from the skies which God has created and sent to you. There is a true heavenly bread which is the eternal abode of God, from where your true bread will come. Jesus is very specific in words. He emphasizes the word true. See the word once again. I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. It's not that it is my Father who gives you the bread from heaven. So which means Jesus wants everyone to know what is the true bread from heaven. So what is the difference between a physical bread that we eat to live our daily life, which is a bios, versus Jesus introducing the true bread from heaven, which is required for you to live a life which is called zoe in Greek. There is a clear distinction between the word life itself. In English, it's one word. Jesus is bringing the life which is bios is different. The life which is zoe, which is eternal, glorious life, which is different, which I am going to give you. For the bread of God is he. So now Jesus is introducing a person of himself rather than physical bread. So all this while, so their eyes were filled, their stomachs were filled. Now, when God is demanding their faith at their heart, their response is not what is expected by even God and Jesus Christ. Let's see. So for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. As I told you, that life is the glorious eternal life which Jesus is revealing now. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Oh, it appears as a very good response. Which means they are all now ready to, are willing to receive Jesus Christ, because Jesus just now told, I am the bread who is coming down from heaven. Sir, please give us this bread. Let's go two chapters back. John chapter 4, verse 15. John chapter 4, verse 15. The Samaritan woman said to Jesus, exactly in verse 13, let's read 13 and 14. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The same language, same scenario, same conversation with a woman. There Jesus is talking about himself giving the word which springs up to eternal life. Then what did the woman answer? The woman said to him, Sir, same response. Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. So her response was still the physical response, which means she thought that something elixir was there with Jesus Christ. In our India, in Sanskrit, we call it as Amrutam. So she was trying to think that there is an elixir which Jesus will give, which if she drinks that, she doesn't need to drink water again in her life. So still she was on her physical realm and asking Jesus, Sir, give me this water. Fast forward, the crowd, when Jesus said, I am the bread who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, is so specific in talking about life, they are at bios. And they said, Sir, from now on, give us this bread. Nothing changed. I don't want to go and work and earn my livelihood. I want to have free food all the days. 40 years you had fed my forefathers. Why can't you do it now? We demand you. Otherwise, you are not the one who is sent from God. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He's talking about the person. He's not talking about something external to him, something physical, because they were expecting some miraculous elixir type of bread or water. Jesus is telling, no, it's not a physical bread. It is a person whom I'm talking to, whom I'm referring to. It's me. So I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. You see what we started with, as I told you, Jesus did not declare this as an instruction, as a teaching to the people. This word came from Jesus out of a conversation, out of an event, out of a systematic exposure of the hearts of the deceived people. So this is when Jesus Christ is now revealing his true identity and his glorious truth, saying that one, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So now don't try to wait for a physical bread. Now you have to come to me. Now I demand faith. You are asking me to come to your terms, giving you 40 years of breakfast. I will now demand you to come to my terms. I will not change. I am an eternal God who is an unchanging God forever to ever. So crowd, I don't compromise. So today's world, what people are saying, Jesus, we are born in 1990s. We are Gen X. We are born in 2000. We are millennials. And we are born in after 2010 or so, we are Gen Z. Would you come and change yourself, morph yourself as a Gen Z Jesus? Or Gen X Jesus for me? Or a millennial Jesus for me? Jesus said, no. I am a God who never changes. You have to come to me, whether you are born in 1st year, or 6,000 year, or 2,000 year, or 4,000 year. That is the demand of faith from everybody. God never changes. So people try to bring to their level, you know why? So that they can escape the true faith demanded by Jesus Christ. They can escape the obedience demanded by Jesus Christ. So we bring in all that we are in this world, our backlog and all the baggage, and we say, Jesus, please come down a little down. They were asking that one, the crowd. The crowd of today's world is no different than the crowd of that day. In this world, many people follow Jesus Christ. They run after Jesus Christ even before Jesus goes there, because their expectations are different. Their demands are different. But the truth always remains the same. That's why Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let's see what happens. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. Jesus, who knows the intents of the hearts of every crowd, the Lord is declaring, exposing their hearts. You have seen me, but you do not believe me. That's the truth. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me. Here God is declared, Jesus is declaring the will of God the Father. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him at the last day. So, underline those words. If you want to know God's will, what is the Father's will? It is, everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. So, it is Jesus Christ, the bread of life. He is not the bread for the stomach. He is the bread of life. Because life flows from God. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Because they all saw him as a son of man. They knew his father, mother, cousins, siblings, disciples. He was just an ordinary man for them. How is this man saying that he came down from heaven? That's why Jesus already authenticated his identity with miraculous signs. The reason why the signs were given is for them to identify he's not a normal human being. If there were no signs, and if they had said this one, if Jesus did not speak to them, and if they had said this one, he's just a normal man, that's different. But they have seen the miraculous signs, they have heard the words of Jesus, and yet they are saying he is a normal human being. Then Jesus answered, stop grumbling among yourself. Jesus answered, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Another revelation. As we pass the season just recently, we all know what Jesus is talking about here. This bread which I'm talking about is actually my flesh, which means his entire physical body is what I'm going to give to you. Because a bread and a fish was already given to the crowd of people. They had eaten it. Now Jesus is telling you, you have to forget all that physical thing and then transform into your heart from stomach, seeing that when a person comes to you, and when I'm saying that I'm going to give myself unto you, what all you have to do is you have to believe. Your believing is you are taking me inside of you. Because you have a bread which you are taking with your mouth and taking inside. Now I'm revealing you another truth. I'm a person, and then I'm giving my flesh as a life unto you. Now all I'm demanding is that your faith, which means you have to believe what I'm going to do. And when you receive it, you're actually feeding on me. That's why the word bread was taken as a metaphor or the same analogy the Lord is referring to the physical food. Then Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Because as I told you, they can never come from that eyes and stomach to the heart. They stopped at their eyes and stomach. Which means if they start responding with their heart, they will understand what Jesus was saying to them. But they stopped at their food or physical food, their stomach and their eyes. They are saying, how can this man give his flesh for us to eat? Is he a cannibal? That was their thought process. Is he asking us to eat human beings' flesh? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus is also very particular here, I would say. If they are thinking that he is a cannibal, the Lord is telling, now you see what I'm going to bring. Not only you have to eat my flesh, you have to drink my blood also. Because in their mind, they are still thinking that they have to eat Jesus' flesh. Now Jesus revealed something more. For my flesh is real food. There is a word, real food. And my blood is real drink. Why is Jesus so specific to bring the words, this is the true bread from heaven, this is the real food, this is the real drink? So which means it makes us understand that what we generally eat, the food and the drink, has no relevance. It's temporary, it's not real. Definitely it's not real. If that is real, this is also a real food along with the real food which you are eating. That's not real. When God says, my flesh and my blood which I'm going to give is real, what you are eating and drinking is not real. That's for a different purpose. So you have to come to this new state of your heart and mind. Jesus is inviting them. Jesus is drawing them. Because unless the Father draws anyone, no one can come to me, Jesus is saying. So, and God's will is that everyone who looks unto the Son, it's not only some people, everyone who looks unto the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. Now let's see where this conversation is going. So whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. So now the Lord is talking about a union. Till now, you are only taking the food externally, but the moment you receive me as your Lord, you believe me as the Son of God and the creator of the universe, the moment you believe, I will come and live inside of you and you will live inside of me. We are in a spiritual, glorious union. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the Lord is referring back to himself and his Father. We were never separated. We were always in a glorious union, the triune God. I am living because God, the Father, has sent me and he is living in me. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. So which means, as we were in the eternal communion, now after we created, God, the triune God, created humans, God is inviting all the human beings to come into that same union where life flows. Right? That's why the word living Father has sent me. I live because he sent me and his life is there in me. The moment you are immersed in me, then you are also in communion with me. My life flows. This is not the bios which the Lord is talking about. The day-to-day life which we are living will continue with the physical bread and fish, which is not real. But for us to be united with the eternal Zoe, eternal life, to the glorious, righteous, holy life, we have to be united with Jesus Christ. That is what is feeding on Jesus Christ. You have to feed on me. You have to receive me, not physically. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever. If you want to talk about the manna, because that is what you are trying to bring me down, if I still give you 40 years or 400 years of this bread, do you know what will happen? You will still die physically, and also you will die eternally separated from me for eternity. Do you want that? Let's trade. If you want this physical food, which is already there, you will die. Even the manna which they ate in the desert, they all took and they died, except two, none even went into the promised land. They all fell down in the wilderness. Is that what you want? Jesus is challenging them. Jesus is demanding their faith. So this is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum, because that's where all these people have crossed. 60 verses after the first verse, now we knew what difference had come. It's totally different what we read and what we observe, what is the first impression we get with some words, some sentences in the Bible. But when you read through the scripture, when you study through the scriptures, when you stay with Jesus and understand the truth will be different to your heart than what it appears to your eyes. On hearing it, many of these disciples said, "This is hard teaching. Who can accept it? We are asking manna, and this man is asking us to eat his flesh and drink his blood, cannibal. It's very hard." Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for something." Thank you for the response. Thank you for correcting me. The flesh counts not for 50%, not for 99%. The flesh counts for nothing. The Spirit gives life. The words I have spoken to you are the Spirit, and they are life eternal. That is the Zoe which the Lord Jesus Christ is giving to us if we choose to believe in him with a true faith. And yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe, who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." The Lord Father is waiting for a heart transformation. They said, "No, we will not step out from our stomach. We will stay there." So they can never come back to Jesus and believe him. That's what Jesus is declaring. God will not enable you if you don't step out from your stomach. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. How many disciples did Jesus had during 3.5 ministry? We are closing very soon. How many? 12? 70? No. There are thousands of disciples. There are many who said, "We will follow you, we will be disciples of you." And then in this crowd of 5,000 plus, many who were there in the synagogue of the Capernaum, what did they say? From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Do you know what that "no longer" is? When John is writing this gospel after many years, he is telling about the future also. Not that at that Jesus' time, and then they came to Jesus after his resurrection. No, they no longer followed him until their entire life had happened. None of them came. He's writing it after many years, 30 years or so. They never, because they were very hard-hardened. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus, out of his heart, is telling. Remaining disciples, how many were there actually? Only 12 were there. 10,000 plus crowd, slowly reduce. And after finally, Jesus had 12 people who stuck to him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." You know what Peter said? I just take you at your word. I don't know what this flesh you are talking about, what is drink you are talking. They don't know that Christ is going to be crucified, because God did not reveal to any of the disciples. Don't think that Peter had a separate revelation of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, giving his body and the blood, and he's resurrecting. None of them know. Peter did not know anything. But Peter had a humble faith in him, even though he's very disobeying at many times. Actually, what Peter had, the great thing in him, is a humble little faith. Sometimes he faltered. He said, Jesus, I don't know you. But the inner faith is what God was seeing, rather than external knowledge of the entire history of Jewish religion. So that's why Jesus replied, have I not chosen you? 12, yet one of you is a devil. Even though many people went away, there are some who want to stick to Jesus, but their intent will be different than the true faith. They will travel some more time far with Jesus Christ, and then they will be doomed to eternal lake of fire. All those people who were left were doomed to eternal lake of fire because they rejected the eternal life, the very bread of life, Jesus Christ. So that brings us to the verse 70. Have I not chosen you the 12, yet one of you is a devil? He meant Judas, the Simon Iscariot, who through one of the 12, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. So what did we learn in this lesson of 70 verses? That Jesus Christ is uncompromising in his nature. He's unchanging. What he demands from the whole humanity is faith. And people will always try to bring Jesus Christ down to their terms. They tried hard to bring Jesus Christ to their terms because they have seen the miracles. It's not that they did not see the miracles. They don't want those miracles. Their eyes have seen the miracles, and they said, no, this miracle doesn't satisfy me. You have to do continuous miracle every day for me. Otherwise, I will not even come to you. This is the demand of the unsaved, disobeying world. Where are you? In which crowd do you belong? One simple question to retrospect and introspect, and the Lord will bless you if you genuinely come to the bread of life and believe in him, feed on him, and you will receive eternal life. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Brothers and sisters, how do you receive him today? It is a clear spiritual message that we have heard this afternoon. How do you receive him? How do you view Jesus Christ himself? Don't walk on the food that spoils. Make sure that you walk spiritually. On those things, on those food, the spiritual food. Are you seeing Jesus Christ physically? Are you seeing him with your physical eyes or spiritual eyes? Do you hunger for physical food or spiritual food? Brethren, Jesus is the bread of life. If you feed on the spiritual food, you will live forever. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I believe hearing this message will make you to feel hunger for spiritual nourishment. Church, let us rise up and let's talk to God. Ask God to create in you a deep hunger for his nourishment, for spiritual nourishment. Because when God creates that in you, you will always seek the righteousness. You will always see that spiritual nourishment that Jesus was talking about in that gathering. That the message that you have heard today, you will always thirst for it. Let's open our mouth and begin to pray and ask God, create in me a deep hunger for your presence and spiritual nourishment. Let my soul crave you more and more, more than any other thing in this world. Talk to God, that God create in me a deep hunger for your spiritual nourishment. Open your mouth and pray. We heard it. It's not just about physical food. It is about eating that food that will make you to live forever. Not the spoiled one. Psalm 107 verse 9 says, "For he satisfied the longing soul, and the hungry soul he filled with good things." God fill every empty place in my life. Let me find this. Find true spiritual satisfaction in you. Only in God that you can have this. Talk to God. Lord, fill every empty place in my life. Let me find true satisfaction in you alone and not in temporary things. In that same scripture that we have gone through, that is John 6, verse 51. You are going to pray. Pray this prayer from 51. Lord, use me as a vessel to share your life with others. Because this message you have heard today is not just for you only. You need to share the message with others. Use me as a vessel to share your life with others. Help me to lead people to you. That is when you take that spiritual food, you will pass it across to others. The true bread of life that gives eternal life. Don't be selfish. Ask God, let me have a vessel to share your word. So shall it be. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and bless your holy name for the wonderful word and the wonderful message that we've heard today. Thank you, Lord, that you remind us about your spiritual food. Father, we thank you because you reminded us that you are the bread of life, just as the name of our church implies, the bread of life. Thank you, Lord, for the deep meaning that you have given unto us today. We pray, God Almighty, this word has been planted in our heart. Nothing shall take them away in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray every word that we have heard this afternoon, they shall be firmly rooted in our heart forever and ever in Jesus' name. Just as we have prayed, Lord, let us continue to remain as a vessel for others to come to you, to share and partake in that spiritual bread that you have given unto us. We pray, God Almighty, your presence will always fill our heart in Jesus' name. We want to thank you and bless your holy name for your son that you have used for us. More anointing in Jesus' name. We pray, God Almighty, you will feed him more so that we can receive more from him in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless him, bless the work of his hand and everything, his ministry, and everything that connected to him in Jesus' name. Father, we want to thank you for today's service, and we bless your holy name for the services to come, on all our programs to come. We pray, God Almighty, that, Lord, we want to see your presence in Jesus' name. We pray, God Almighty, concerning tomorrow baptism, your presence is what we want to see as well in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Do have a wonderful week. Amen. For those of you that want to take baptism, if you have not taken the form, please see me immediately or any of the council members. Thank you and God bless you.